host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I do have a couple of announcements. First of all, if you tuned in at 9 o'clock hoping to hear the Freeman Michael Show, Freeman Michael Show is on holiday hiatus. You can go to the Freeman Michael Show Facebook page for updates on when he will return. Also, if you tuned in at 9 o'clock, you know that Brainstorming with Billy the Brain has expanded to 2 hours. That's right. I'm now on from 9 to 11 o'clock weekdays here on KKZZ AM 1400. I'm doing the same interviews with all of the thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. That first hour, I'm typically rerunning all of the best interviews that I've done from the months gone by. So I hope you'll tune in at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock every day here on KKZZ. Now, back to our theme. Today's theme is recovering from a bad situation. Each of my guests will discuss resiliency after a catastrophe. My first guest has remarkable firsthand insight into the President John F. Kennedy assassination at Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. He was a Secret Service agent assigned to President Kennedy's detail. My second guest sees green where others see only red. He'll discuss how to find islands of profit in a sea of red ink in faltering companies. My third guest will give us some meaning to the economic recovery right here in Ventura County. CLU economist Bill Watkins joins us to tell us what's ahead for Ventura County in 2011. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jerry Blaine, is a former U.S. Secret Service agent, and he is one of the country's leading experts in high-level, high-profile security. Back in 1959, Jerry Blaine was hired as a special agent of the United States Secret Service, and he was handpicked to serve on the elite White House Secret Service detail, the six-man team at that time responsible for protecting President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Subsequently, he served on the 34-man team responsible for protecting John F. Kennedy as well. His latest book is titled The Kennedy Detail, JFK's Secret Service Agents Break Their Silence. Welcome to the show, Jerry. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for the book. But first and foremost, let me thank you for your service to America. I mean, it is a thankless job being a Secret Service agent, as you were, and so I thank you for that on behalf of all of my listeners. But I want to ask you to help me to get my head around something, if you can, please, and that's the concept of protecting the president. How do you yourself put yourself in harm's way to protect another person like that?
Well, in our era, I would imagine the same motivation applies today, but the detail agents were born for Kennedy, were born between 1907 and 1936. So they had gone through the roughest period of time that we had in our nation. And they had an overwhelming love and devotion and dedication for the country. I went to work for $4,980 a year and averaged 70 hours a month overtime, for which we received no pay. So it averaged out about $1.80 an hour. We loved our job. It was the best job in the world.
Wow, that is remarkable. And again, I thank you for your service. Now, you happen to be a living part of history, which makes it so much fun to have you on the show today. Every American that was alive and sentient in 1963 remembers where he or she was at the time of the Kennedy assassination. It was obviously a very pivotal time in the United States history. No more so, though, than for the Secret Service. At the time of the assassination, where were you, Jerry? What was your role?
Well, I had just completed an advance, the first advance of the trip, really, in Tampa, Florida. And after I finished that, I was to go to Dallas and help finish the advance there. But we had one of the agents who had been dating a Braniff Airlines stewardess, and so he asked if he could take the trip. And I went to work with my ship that was on midnights. We rotated every 2 weeks. I was with the president in Fort Worth the night before, and then the ship flew to Austin, where the president was to appear that night at LBJ Ranch. I'd been in bed about 5 minutes when the ship leader banged on the door and said the boss had been hit. And so we grabbed a Air Force plane and went back to Washington, D.C. The plane was on radio silence, so we didn't find until we landed at Andrews Air Force Base that the president was dead.
Wow. We're talking to Jerry Blaine, everybody. His book is titled The Kennedy Detail. Jerry, just when you were describing that story, the knock comes on the door. You've just put yourself down to some sleep, and you hear that the boss has been hit. What were your emotions at that exact moment in time?
I swung up and tried to stand up, and I just sunk back. I couldn't. I had a hard time comprehending at first, but the message was clear. And I guess in the back of my mind, I said, "What went wrong? Were we responsible, or what happened?" And I just couldn't come to grips with it for a while. On the flight back, we did not say a word with each other. And as a matter of fact, emotionally, we never sat down and talked about the assassination until June this year.
Wow.
And that was in Dallas, Texas. And they filmed it for the Discovery Channel. And it was the first time the agents broke down and discuss the emotional impact on themselves.
Now, was that an emotional censure that you all put on yourselves, or was there a censure like the Kennedy files themselves are not to be opened for, I think it's 100 years after his death. Was this something that you imposed on yourselves not to talk about it, or was it something imposed on you?
The reason the book was written is because I call it a cottage industry called the conspiracy theory. And the stories just became so ridiculous. They started accusing agents on our the Kennedy detail of being part of the conspiracy, accused the driver of the car of turning around and shooting the president and or the agent in the follow-up car with the rifle of accidentally falling back and shooting the president. All this impacted their lives and their family lives. We said, you know, there are only 17 of us alive today out of the 60 that served during President Kennedy's time. And we decided we better get the truth out of it, out right now, because otherwise you'll never be able to trust history again.
Well, that's a very good point, and I'm glad that you have brought this up, because you are a living part of history. We're talking to Jerry Blaine. His book, The Kennedy Details, JFK's Secret Service Agents Break Their Silence. And so, Jerry, from the reading of the book, you subscribe to the Warren Commission's findings of a single gunman, and we have to rely on you because you're a trained professional. What makes you so certain that it was just the single gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, I think one of the problems that happens with many of the theorists, they didn't bother to read the entire Warren report. There were 27 volumes of evidence, and for instance, I'll point out one. Below Oswald on the fifth floor were three employees of the book depository. The sixth floor had planking. It didn't have solid flooring. Mm-hmm. When the first shot went off, those three employees heard the explosion and felt dust and dirt drop on their head. Then they heard the clink of the shell. The same thing happened on the second and the third shot. There were three shots fired in Dealey Plaza. Those three shots were there. The detectives found the empty shell casings, marked them, took a picture of them. There were no other shots in the that day.
All right, and that is living history right there, talking about it. Now, Jerry, I want to go back to the book, if I can, for just a minute. One of the central figures in the book is a man that many of us know by sight, but a few of us know him by name. He was a Secret Service agent who was crawling on President Kennedy's limo after the shots were fired to protect Mrs. Kennedy. His name was Clint Hill. He was reluctant at the beginning to participate in this book. In fact, you talked about all of the Secret Service agents have sort of kept their silence up until now. Why now? Why at this particular point in history did Clint Hill change his mind and decide to come forward and help you with this book?
Well, mainly he wanted to make sure the facts were out. I did the research on this for 5 years. The guys broke out their shift reports, their advance reports, investigative reports, and we went back and double-checked and triple-checked. Clint read the book 6 times, and I did the same, and I read the final tap and said, this is the truth as far as the Secret Service goes on the events that occurred. Clint joined me on a nationwide tour and will be joining me again, and he talked about something that he absolutely could not talk about before, if you saw the 60-minute interview. But today, Clint's like his old self, and all of the agents that appeared at the reunion of discussing it are back to their old selves again. So
that's good to hear. It was sort of cathartic to go through this, was it, Jerry?
Pardon?
They say it was a good catharsis to go through and get this all out on paper and out into the public eye.
We wanted to straighten it away. You know, the youth of today, there was an article in USA Today last month that said 82% of the young people between 18 and 28 believe President Kennedy's death was a conspiracy. This has ended up taking away from the positives of President Kennedy, and it's turned our youth into a doubting Thomas group. They don't have faith in their government. Every conspirator ends up pointing out the institute or the person they dislike the most to blame for the assassination. The right wing blames the left wing blames the right wing. They blame organized crime and so forth. And youth has no faith at all in our government.
Well, that is a very good point. We're talking to Jerry Blaine, everybody, his book, The Kennedy Detail, talking about Dealey Plaza, talking about the assassination. And you mentioned blame. Everybody's assigning blame. And I want to go back because President Johnson, after he was sworn in as president, we've come to find out through his recorded tapes, he was unpleased with the investigation that the Secret Service was conducting on the assassination himself. And, in fact, the assassination obviously is one of the low points in White House secret security history. Kind of give us a breakdown, analyze it now, a post-mortem, if you will, of what went wrong, how could things have been done differently to perhaps protect the president and not have had the assassination at all?
Well, we had 34 agents, and we were the non-technology group, which meant that at any one time we had 5 agents with the president. In Dallas, we had Clint Hill and Paul Landis, who were with Mr. Kennedy. Paul Landis had never worked a follow-up car. We did not have the resources. 2 months before the assassination, we had 11 experienced agents just burn out because of the travel schedule. And then when we had to send agents out for the Texas and the Florida trip, we had another 12 agents constantly on the move. So we were so short-handed. I ended up in Tampa, Florida, with 2 shift agents to go with the president for 28 miles of motorcade.
Wow.
And I was afraid they'd be worn out if they did that. So I asked them to ride on the back of the president's car. The president had been really elected for civil rights passage or change in the social program. His first 3 years were tied up in the Cold War,
mm-hmm.
and he decided that if he was going to win, he had to go to the South, and he had to win Florida, and he had to win Texas. In order to do that, he asked the agents to get off the car. He said, look, my political style is to be with the people, and I'd appreciate it if we didn't have the agents on the back of the car. As it turned out, it would not have made any difference because where the president was assassinated, we We would not have had agents on the back of the car anyway. But those five agents have one responsibility. It's to cover the president and evacuate him. We don't go after assassins, and we sure can't check every window in the city with five agents.
That's very true. We're talking to Jerry Blaine, everybody, author of the book, The Kennedy Detail. And Jerry, I can just hear it in your voice, the admiration that you have for President Kennedy. You actually began your service, though, in the President Eisenhower administration, and Eisenhower, of course, was a Republican. Then you went on to President Kennedy, a Democrat, and Johnson after that. In what way do politics, both your personal politics and also the president's politics, impact the choice of the selection of White House Secret Service agents?
Well, it really doesn't affect the selection. President Eisenhower went out of office with a 65% approval rating. As far as protection, he didn't ride in an open-top car. He really didn't jump into the crowds and shake hands. And he was on time, and we worked together very well. And we all admired him because of his role in World War II. And we felt a 95% confidence factor. JFK was the TV and the charisma president. I mean, the young loved him, and once you worked with him, you loved him. He learned your name and your children's name, and he'd stop by and joke with you, and it was an altogether different thing, but he would go into the crowds. He used the limousine with the open top. That was primary. We always went that way unless it was raining or unless Mrs. Kennedy had a hairdo that might get messed up.
We've been talking to Jerry Blaine, everybody. Truly a person who was there on site in history. His book is called The Kennedy Detail, JFK's Secret Service Agents Break Their Silence. Jerry, if people want to learn more about you or learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, on the Internet, we have a website called The Kennedy Detail. And, of course, the book is for sale on Amazon.com and Simon & Schuster, the publisher. And I wanted to get the truth out and lay it out, and the other agents did. So this is what they have to say about what happened.
Well, Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for writing this book and bringing out this side of history that people otherwise wouldn't have known. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.